Good morning, all. If you would, turn to Romans chapter 1, verse 18. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. Now let's look at chapter 3, verse 19 and 20. Chapter 3, verse 19 and 20. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped, and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by the works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. Now let's look at chapter 10, verse 1 through 4. Romans chapter 10, verse 1 through 4. Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of the righteousness that comes from God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. God, I ask you that you give me clarity of thought this morning. And God, I just ask you to bless this sermon, and that it will be to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. The three passages we just read emphasizes man's need for salvation. Sinful man represses the knowledge of God and deceives himself into thinking that he's at peace with God. Most of the people I talk to about salvation express no concern over the state of their soul. And why is that? Because they believe that they're in no danger of the judgment of God. They're good enough in themselves to get to heaven. Consequently, they feel no need for the gospel. What are some of the things in the heart of man that cause him to feel no need for the gospel? This morning, we're going to consider three areas that cause people to ignore the urgency of the gospel message. As we do this, I hope that you'll be moved to do three things. First, examine your own heart. Second, be motivated to prayer for the spiritual awakening in our community. And third, be motivated toward personal evangelism. People do not feel a need for salvation out of ignorance. Let's look at Romans 10, 1 through 4. Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of the righteousness that comes from God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Notice that the Jews that Paul is talking about in this passage were ignorant of the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith and were trying to establish their own righteousness. In other words, they were trying to make themselves good enough to merit heaven on their own. And as long as they're doing that, then they're not submitting to Christ. This action is part of man's fallen nature. He wants to earn heaven by doing good enough, being good enough on his own. Most of the people that I've talked to about salvation, and they're just like the people that Paul describes here, they're ignorant of God's way of salvation and feel that on their own, they're good enough to merit heaven. The prevalent view of how to get to heaven in our culture is that you simply die and you go to heaven. The concept of salvation is not justification by faith or justification by faith and works or justification by works. It's justification by death. They're ignorant that God is holy and says in His Word that he will by no means clear the guilty. They're ignorant of the fact that Jesus talked more about hell than he did about heaven, and that any transgression of God's law is a capital offense against a holy God. They're ignorant of the fact that after they sin, every breath they breathe, every moment of life they have, is by God's mercy. And the wrath of God against their sin hangs over their head like the sword of Damocles, ready to fall at any moment. Because of this ignorance, they feel no need for Christ and the salvation that he offers. R.C. Sproul said that if people knew two things, they would be beating down the doors of churches, crying out, "What must I do to be saved?" What are these two things? That God is holy and just, and that man is a sinner under the judgment of God. When people are ignorant of what God says about their sinful condition and his justice, they're free to delude themselves that they are good enough to stand before God. They're free to buy into the deception that they're at peace with God through their own works. As long as someone is trusting in their own righteousness, they feel no need for Christ. Charles Spurgeon said, "The man who clings to his own righteousness is like the man who grasps a millstone to prevent himself from sinking in a flood. Your righteousness will damn you if you trust in it as surely as will your sin, for it is a false, proud lie." What do you trust in for your salvation? Do you feel that you're good enough to merit heaven? Do you trust in your own righteousness? Are you ignorant of the justice of God and feel that you're at peace with God apart from Jesus Christ? If you trust in yourself, you will perish in hell forever. A.W. Pink, in commenting on spiritual ignorance, called it spiritual darkness and compared it to hell in the fact that hell is called the outer darkness. He said that there is a thin partition between those immersed in spiritual ignorance and hell itself. Since spiritual ignorance is inner darkness, he said that is the next room, as it were, to hell itself. Let's look at Romans chapter 10, verse 11 through 15. Romans 10, 11 through 15. "For the Scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how are they to call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him on whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." Do you believe the message of the gospel? Do you believe the words of Jesus when he proclaimed that there is a hell, and apart from faith in him, that is the destiny of everyone who has broken God's law? Do you believe the scriptures when they declare that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God? Do you trust in Christ alone? And if you believe in Jesus for salvation and you believe the warning of Jesus about the state of the lost, you have a responsibility before God to make the gospel known. Second, people feel no need for salvation because they have an idolatrous concept of God. Let's look at Romans chapter 1, verse 18. Romans 1, 18. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth." Now let's look at verse 25. Romans 1, 25. "Because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. The inclination of sinful man is to repress the truth about God and create an idol. Much of the problem of ignorance that we just discussed does not come from the fact that truth about God is unavailable. Creation bears witness to the existence of God. In this country, there are many opportunities to hear the gospel. However, the nature of the sinful human heart is that apart from the grace of God, men will seek after anything but the truth of who God is and His plan of salvation. The most common idol in our culture is the false concept that God is all love and no justice. I don't know how many times I've heard it stated that my God will never send anyone to hell. Well, their God may not, but the God who exists, He is just, and He will send people to hell. A.W. Pink writes, "Viewing God through the blurred lenses of depraved hearts and minds, they fashion Him as one suited to their corrupt inclinations. They invent a God who treats sin lightly, who looks with indulgence upon their waywardness, who is willing to accept a few religious performances as sufficient compensation for their debts. They do not believe it is impossible to mock God with impunity, that as a man sow, they reap, so that if they sow to the flesh, they must, of necessity, reap corruption. Sinful man believes that he can do as he pleases, do what is right in his own eyes, and that God will simply excuse every violation of His holy law. It is a belief in a God that doesn't exist. The God who reveals Himself in the Bible says that He will by no means clear the guilty. He says there is an eternal judgment for sin, and apart from faith in Jesus Christ, a person will spend an eternity in the torments of hell being punished for his sins against a holy God. Now let's look at Romans 1:24. Romans 1:24 through 28. Therefore God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions, for their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passions for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. Then verse 32. Though they knew God's decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, They did not only do them, but gave approval to those who practice them. Three times in this section we read the words that God gave them up in verse 24, 26, and 28. During World War I, two shells fell near a house near the scene of a conflict, and the owner decided to keep them as a curiosity. After polishing them, he put them near his fireplace. One day, he showed these interesting objects to a visiting acquaintance. His friend was suddenly struck by a horrible thought. What if they're still loaded? He inquired with alarm. Being an expert in such matters, he quickly examined the shells. Get them away from the heat of the fire immediately. They're as deadly as the day they were made, he exclaimed. Without realizing it, his host had been in great danger. So too, many go on enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season, ignorant of impending doom. By failing to obey the gospel and trust in Christ, they face the dreadful prospect of the judgment of God. Our understanding of who God is must come from what God has revealed to us in His Word. You can speculate about the nature of God or practice wishful thinking about what God is like, but you will never know the true nature of God until you read His self-revelation in Scripture. People feel no need for salvation because they do not know the character of God. Consequently, there's no fear of God. They have no qualms about premarital sex, about adultery. Homosexuality is just an alternate lifestyle. Abortion is simply every woman's right. But what does God say about such things? He says those who practice such things are worthy of death. And unless they repent, they will face eternal judgment. It is not a matter of ethics. It's a matter of the state of your soul. If you have not trusted in Christ, you have nothing in your future but a fearful expectation of the judgment of God. And there is only one way to salvation, and that is through faith in Jesus Christ. So we've seen that people feel no need for God because of ignorance and because of idolatrous concepts of God. Third, people do not feel a need for salvation because of self-righteousness. Let's look at Romans chapter 3, verse 10 through 12. Romans chapter 3, verse 10 through 12. As it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside, together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Then verse 19 and 20. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by the works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. The law of God shows us that we are all sinners. And according to God's standard of righteousness, we are all sinners. We've alluded to the fact that many people feel that they're good enough to make it to heaven on their own. I want to consider two aspects of the deception of self-righteousness. First of all, people feel self-righteous through comparing themselves with others. A.W. Pink wrote, "Sinners compare themselves with their fellows and award themselves the first prize every time. He who is immoral regards himself as better than those who grind the poor and rob the widow. He who is a liar and thief prides himself that he's no murderer. He who is outwardly religious deems himself vastly superior to the openly profane." Each one discovers some cause or other to say with a self-righteous Pharisee, "I thank God that I'm not like that publican." This is because they measure themselves by the wrong standard. Even a soiled handkerchief looks comparatively clean if it's placed on a miry road, but were it laid on newly fallen snow, its uncleanliness would soon be evident. So it is with those who are blind to their deplorable condition. People justify themselves in their particular sin by comparing themselves with someone who is worse than they are. However, the standard is God's law. The standard is the holiness of God. If you're going to enter heaven on your own, you must be absolutely perfect. Matthew 5:48, "You're to be perfect even as my Father in heaven is perfect." Second, people exhibit self-righteousness through attempting to atone for their own sin. This reveals a lack of understanding about God's holiness and the depth of the offense of sin against a holy God. Any system of religion where man tries to atone for his own sins denies the work of Christ. Let's look at Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ, so we also have believed in Jesus Christ in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. Because by the works of the law, no one will be justified. Two times justified by faith, three times justified not by works. Let's look at Galatians 2:21 now. Galatians 2:21. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if justification were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. If by works, then Jesus is unnecessary. Have you ever felt that you could atone for your sin through some self-abasement? Many people feel that they can earn favor with God through some kind of self-denial or the infliction of physical pain. However, sin has an infinite disvalue before God and requires an infinite sacrifice. That is why Christ had to go to the cross and why His work on the cross is the only way to salvation. On Maundy Thursday, thousands of Filipinos reenact the last agony of Jesus. Barefoot, they walk over hot stone streets in the scorching sun, dragging heavy wooden crosses. They flog their backs with glass-studded whips until they are raw. Seeking through the pain and suffering of grisly Lenten rituals to win the redemption, as many as a dozen even had themselves nailed to the cross, to crosses, in a desperate effort to win God's favor. Self-atonement is a form of self-righteousness. People through self-atonement are trying to merit salvation by something that they can do. If that were possible, then Christ has died in vain. This attitude diminishes the seriousness of sin, the holiness of God, and the work of Christ. What do you trust in for your salvation? Do you rely on Christ and His work alone? If you trust in yourself, then you have no hope. God, I thank You that You sent Jesus to die for our sins and that we do have hope through Him. In Jesus' name, amen.